been trying to decide how I could remain incognito and still come back and worship with you all, so I thought I'd change my hairdo. Joel, I'm getting about like you now. Anyway. Just share a few thoughts with you this morning. Some of you have read the website or perhaps a newsletter along the line somewhere, but there's a cartoon that shows a well-known picture, a painting of Adam and Eve who are leaving the garden. And as they're being escorted out of the garden, of course, there's this angel with a flaming sword, and he's guarding them from coming back in. And the caption reads that Adam is saying to Eve, "Eve, you know, we are living in a time of transition. And we are living in a time of transition today. Of course, Adam and Eve had a bad transition, but I know that you will have a good transition, and hopefully I will have a good transition as well as we think about moving forward, and we move forward as the church body. And I know that you will be blessed with Pastor Andy and Susan as they come and share, and as they lead you into new territory and share with you new insights and ideas and challenges ahead. And I know, again, that you'll be blessed and you'll be a real blessing to them as you have been me." As I stop and think this morning, I think of a passage of Scripture. In fact, Nicole already used one of mine, so I might have her come back. But it says very simply, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the very first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." And again, I do think back about all the memories that I have had. And I was telling Bill I had some dreams this morning, and they were pretty spooky dreams because some of them concerned individuals in the life of the congregation. But I still remember the first time I met with the Pastor Parrish here at the church. We met in the office down there. And, they were good people, and you've always been good people. And afterwards, of course, we said, "Yeah, we're ready to come." I mean, this church really fit me like a piece of a puzzle. And we went out to MCL to eat, and I still remember Len and I got in the car with Martha Jean and Howard Claspel, and the rest of Pastor Parrish met us out at MCL. And for that very first meal here in this area, I had liver and onions at Richards, or not at Richards, but at MCL. And I later found out that there was a person on the Pastor Parrish who abhorred liver and onions and said, "If anybody ever eats liver and onions in my presence," but, you know, they went on to really spoil us. Every month they would bring us a coffee cake, and I thought, wow, you know, this is living the life. But I think about that first visit we had. I think about the first telephone call I had, which was from Hester Beckett. The first visit I had in the church office, which was from Frank Stifler, who came in and just shared with me a few things. But I think about a lot of firsts. The first Christmas and the living nativity that we did for many, many years and playing the parts of the various characters of the Christmas story. I think about the Easter experiences and the living Lord's Supper and the whip, hammer, and cross that we turned the whole front end of the stage up here in front into a crucifixion and resurrection experience that will forever stay out of my mind. I still remember some of the first welcomes that I have as I looked out and I see somebody like Tom McKee or Dustin Plummer, who, as I was working on a church sign, were throwing firecrackers across the road at me, you know. I knew they shouldn't hate me too bad, and later Dustin tormented me with strobe lights for fireworks every July 4th because he knew how much I hated them, but he wanted to put my eyes out with them and send me into an epileptic seizure, right? And so, anyway. But I think about all those firsts that we had. I think about the Bible school experiences that we had, all the experiences that we had, that being able to enjoy the kids. I think about, of course, the illustrated messages that I did, and thanks for putting up with some of my crazy antics up here of cutting down trees and shooting arrows across the front of the church. But I think of the Melody Masters. I think about the Payne family, the Chris family. All those were gospel singers who came and who blessed us with music here in this church, and it just blessed my heart. Then I think about, of course, I got to thinking about the youth trips that we did. The youth trip that we took to Tennessee, which was a real joy. And then, of course, we also took some. You always have to go to Cedar Point or to Kings Island. And I still remember going with Cedar Point with the group, and what I still remember about that event was that there was about 8 women and girls who went, and they stayed in this big, spacious room about the size of this sanctuary. They all had queen beds, okay? And we had about 17 of us guys, and we were crammed into a little room about the size of this altar, you know, 2 and 3 people to the bed, some of them sleeping on the floor. Where David and I slept, there was a big hole in the ceiling over us. You know, I wasn't certain whether a big rat was going to jump through or what. But, you know, you go back and you think about all those experiences. The softball team that won the championship. We stayed up until midnight, right? And I still remember Greg running around the bases and stumbling at second base. You remember that? And I still remember, of course, when I got hit and had to have stitches because I misjudged the ball. But those are all things that we remember. The Habitat Builds, of course, the Emmaus Fellowship groups, the birthday group that welcomed Lena and I and the 2 older girls at that time it was a group of older couples, and we met every month for a birthday celebration. And, of course, the 3 other kids followed suit, and those of you who were here helped babysit them as we were at the hospital. 4 families, birthday groups, you know, all those things are part of that, the special events, the special invites to dinner. All those things, the birth, the baptisms, the tears, the celebrations. But most of all, I thank my God every time I remember you, because you have become my family and my friends. And I've been allowed to be able to be your pastor for 34 years, and thank you for the love that you have shown to me and to Lana and to my family over that time period. And you've invited me into your life, shared your stories. You know, we've had times of celebration, times of sorrow. You know, you've shared with me your vulnerable moments and invited me and trusted me enough to be able to allow me to pray for you and to help bear some of those burdens in life. And the time has passed so quickly, I'm saying, where has all of this gone? I've tried to speak God's message as best as I could, but you know, I still have regrets of things that I wanted to do, what we're not able to do, dreams that are unfulfilled, failures along life. But again, my heart is full of thanks that God has allowed each and every one of us to work together in the partnership of the gospel, because not only have I been your pastor, but you have also been my pastor as well. This morning I think about a man who was a cousin of Jesus. And very simply, John records this story. Remember, he was conceived some months before Jesus was conceived, and when he heard that Jesus, the Messiah, had been conceived in Mary, he leapt for joy. But then he was born, and it says there was a man sent from God. His name was John, and he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. And he was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. But notice this, there was a man, a common ordinary man, a common ordinary individual, maybe a common ordinary woman, who was called by God to do something that was very, you know, a privilege of being able to share the gospel. There was a man sent from God. And I stop and I think about that, and I say, was John somewhat a little bit like me when I received my call into ministry? Because I was a teenager at the time, and I still remember God just impressing upon my heart that he wanted me in the ministry, you know? And I was saying, well, wait a minute here. Tim Nussbaum was my pastor at Panito at that time, and later Greg Brindle encouraged me, and I kept saying, I can't do it, I can't do it. Why would God want a scrawny little kid like me from Panito, you know, crooked teeth and everything? Why would he want me? No talents, nothing like that. I mean, I shared with you about going to Decatur for my very first assignment, and the youth pastor at the other church being this short little, you know, muscular guy that carried around weights and had all the girls hanging on his shoulders. And here I was, a skinny little person on the other side, saying, God, man, this doesn't compare. But anyway, why, God, would you do me? Why would you use me? Why would you call me? And I said, God, I can't do it. Nobody in our family had ever gone to college before. My dad had only a meager means, a meager salary. But, you know, I went to work after I graduated at my grandfather's place of business and worked there for several years and enjoyed it. And one evening after Bible school, I came home, and there was an invitation to join Uncle Sam. You know, we welcome you. And so I went off and I served for several years, and God then said, you know, you now have a way, because those whom I call, I equip and I prepare and I provide. And so when I got out of the service, I continued to work, but I went to Marion and then to Asbury and was first assigned at Decatur and then, of course, came here where I've been. And it's been a real blessing, you know, for me for those past 34 years. But I was saying, you know, God, why would you want me? Was John that way? God, why would you want me? Maybe you've said that. God, why would you want me? But there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And it says he came as a witness to bear witness about the light. He was a witness. And what is a witness? A witness is someone who sits on the jury stand and tells what they have seen and heard. They tell about the experience, the circumstance to which they're actually being asked. I think about how John himself writes later on, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, these things we write to you that your joy may be full. And so God has called each and every one of us to be a witness to the great kingdom of God, to be a witness about the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be a witness to he who sends us because God calls. And those whom God calls, he sends and he equips to do the work. There was a man sent from God. Very simply, it says, as the Father sent me, even so I'm sending you. Go and I will send you. God sends, he calls, he equips. And so here's John the Baptist. And he's declaring this message, very simple message of gospel of repentance to the people around about him. And as he's sharing this story, of course, one day Jesus appears out of the wilderness himself. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I mean, he pointed people to Jesus Christ. And so he came to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. His desire was that all might believe in Jesus Christ, that all might follow him. He was the one who was directing them, was introducing the world to this one who was the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But very simply, notice the great not. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. He was not the light. Later on in this chapter 1, the priests, the Levites are saying, who are you, John? Who are you? I mean, here he was running around, you know, he had this camel skin coat on, he was eating locusts and honey. Who are you? And he says, I'll tell you this, I am not a prophet. I am not Elijah. I am not the Christ. In fact, I am not even worthy to untie his very sandals. I am not, but I am able to proclaim the one who is the great I am. I am not, but I am able to proclaim to you the one who will say, I am the resurrection and the life. I can proclaim to you the one who will say, I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I can proclaim to you the one who says, I am the true vine. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. I am only a witness, and I'm also a voice. And I've come to say, make straight the way of the Lord. And it says very simply, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. But he's come to bear witness to the Son of God. And so here's John. He begins to minister, and he says, I am not, but I proclaim I am. I'm a voice to I am. I'm a witness to the one who is to come. And he says, I am not, but I proclaim him. He must increase while I must decrease. Why? Because it's all about him. It's not about me. It's all about him. It's not about you. It's all about him. It's his church. It's his family. It's his grace that redeems us and calls us. It's not about us. It's all about him. I think about William Carey, who was considered the first missionary in the modern missionary movement. And he says when William Carey is gone, don't talk about William Carey. Talk about William Carey's Savior. Talk about William Carey's Savior. When I am gone, don't talk about William Carey. Talk about William Carey's Savior. Why? Because it's all about him. When I first came here, I was in Decatur first for 3.5 years or so, and my very first message was from 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2. And it says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And you know there is that, you know, that fear and that trembling that we sometimes have, but I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And now as I make my transition and you make your transition to Pastor Andy, who will be your pastor, you know, beginning next Sunday and assuming the pastoral responsibilities, my prayer for you is the prayer that Nicole actually recited and said from memory. Between the songs. But this is my prayer for you, that God's Spirit will strengthen your inner being, that Christ will make his home in you, that you may experience the vibrant life of Christ and move into the fuller knowledge of the love of Christ, that you will overflow with God's fullness. I kneel before my Father in heaven, from whom all the family in heaven and on earth derives its name, and I pray out of his glorious riches that he might strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I also pray that you, be rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the full measure of all the fullness of God. To him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power in us, to him be the glory in the church of Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And that's a prayer that Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus. And it's a church that prays that may each and every one of us go deeper in our challenges with the Lord. May each of us go deeper in our growth with Christ. And I know that Pastor Andy will lead you into that discipleship. He will lead you into that fuller knowledge of Christ. He will take you deeper. And he will be able to lead you into new territories as you walk through this land of ours called Jordan. Now, as I stop and think about this, I also think about Sam Shoemaker. Sam Shoemaker was a pastor at Manhattan Church, or a Calvary Church in Manhattan. He was also a co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. And when he took leave of his congregation, he said this, and it just sort of struck my heart because I think the same about this situation. He says, "As I sit in the cool winter afternoon looking out the window on a snowy scene, I look back with many thanks. It's been a great run. I wouldn't have missed it for anything. Much could have been done better, and I have by no means done what I should have done with all that I've been given. There were dreams that did not come true and losses not a few, but overall it has been a school of lesson not easily learned, but of infinite worth, an instruction of a gentle and patient kind. Again I say, it's been a great run, and I'm thankful for it, and next to my gratitude to my God for all my friends who helped make it so. And so on behalf of Lana and I and my family, I just want to say thank you for the honor and privilege of being able to be your pastor for the past 34 years. It's been a real inspiration, a real challenge, and a real blessing. And I could not have been in a place that had been better suited for me than Christ Church. I mean, whether you know it or not, you're a terrific group of people. Now, whatever it might be. But anyway, you've been a blessing and you spoiled me. And I know that you will be that great inspiration to Andy as well and to Susan. And so thank you so much for inviting me into your lives. Thank you for being a part of my lives. Somehow in my heart, although I cannot be your pastor, you will forever be my parishioners, and I will forever be your pastor in my heart, okay? Is that okay? And I will forever be family and friends. And so, again, it's difficult for me, and it's hard for me, and I know for Lana, but again, I just thank you so much. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part. There's so many memories in this room this morning. I could go back and recount the memories and the experiences that we've had. And again, it's just been a tremendous time together. And I'm out of words right now.
I was just thinking as I was doing my devotions this morning, I was reading Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. And Dennis, we can't really thank you for the countless hours you've prepared sermons, met with people to listen and counsel, made home visits, drove to the hospital, the funeral home, or any place where your parishioners needed you. We can't thank you for the way you've brought the Bible alive in your messages to us, most weeks, three times a week. The truth you've always spoken as you taught us godly lessons. We can't really thank you enough for the example you've lived as a man after God's own heart. Thank you isn't enough, but you have to know our heart goes with you. So, this is what we've grown from two little girls. And is everybody here? I think everybody is here. Made it today.
Well,
this is great.
I think so. There's one that's hidden.
What, one that's in the oven?
Greg. Greg's not here.
Yeah. No.
Greg isn't.
Greg couldn't be here, but we also have one that's due here one of these days soon. We'll make it even one more number larger. So I do hope that you'll be able to be here at 1:30. New Burlington and Selma Christ want to do something special for Dennis, but we're going to do that at 1:30. So I hope that each and every one of you will try to come back at 1:30. So have a great lunch. I hope you'll run home, get your things, come back and join us. And before everybody starts leaving.
Don't leave yet. We got a song and a benediction.
Yeah, don't leave. But before we leave after the last song, let's get Dennis and Lynn and the family to come in the back so we can all shake your hands as we leave, because many of these folks may not make it this afternoon. So if you could do that, we'd really appreciate that. Okay? I'm done.
Don't leave yet, because I want a picture.
Well, here, take it with your phone, because... Just pray it's not blurry. I just remember this, and Holly, you'll know this as well, wherever Holly's at. But I remember Earl Blair and Mary, and Earl always rode horses. You remember that? And I don't know if it stands out, but we always had to joke around, because Mary, whenever she would take a picture, would always take the head off the top of the Earl. Remember that? And so he was always the headless horseman. So hopefully we got a good picture there. So. Again, so many great memories that we go back to. I mean, dragging me out of the mud and all this sort of stuff. But most of all, your growth in Christ and your witness and love. Thank you so much. You've been very special. And hopefully you'll continue to be special. Drop in and see us. May God bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace now and forever. Go in peace. Amen.